My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting from page 304. As God is an all-righteous Spirit, therefore His laws and commandments are the same as He Himself, for His righteousness is expressed in them. It is because of this that the Lord says, If a man love me, he will keep my words, my commandments. He that loves me not, keepeth not my saying. If he love me, keep my commandments. St. John 14, chapter 15, 23rd and 24th verses. Pray for the departed as though your own soul were in hell, in the flame, and as though you yourself were in torment. Feel their torments with your whole heart and pray most fervently, most ardently, that they may rest in peace in the place of light and green pastures, in the place of refreshing. Call upon the saints with faith unashamed and love unfeigned. If you wish them to hear you and fulfill your prayer, remember that like sees after like. The saints have themselves pleased God by their faith and love, and wish to see the same in you. To faith and love add also the reverence due to them. A self-loving man spares himself for the good of others. He even grudges his throat for the instruction of others. If he is a teacher or a priest, he grudges his whole heart because he, so to say, serves his neighbor only with half his heart, and sometimes even quite without any heart. He grudges his physical powers too. He is as frightened as a hare, and being afraid of falling ill from work, prefers to take rest. Faith in God as in Him who exists is the source of life for the soul. How can we represent Him who exists to ourselves, count everything visible and invisible as nothing, and present to yourself that the Lord alone is? In order to petition the king or any other illustrious personage, or anyone else, it is necessary to reach him, to see him, and to stand before him face to face. But here on earth, persons are often at a distance. Places are at a distance. Sometimes it is necessary to pass many persons to go a long way. But in order to reach the heavenly king or the heavenly queen, the mother of God or the angels and saints, it is only necessary to pass by and put aside a mass of unbelief to vacate the soul of passions, to take us as companions lively faith, zeal, and love, and then we shall reach and can boldly pray to Lord or to the most pure Mother of God, or to the angels and saints. No mental work can be accomplished without some preconceived plan, after the likeness of the all-creating Lord, who first conceived the world and its plan, and afterwards created the universe through His Son, and accomplished it by the Holy Ghost. It would be presumptuous to write a work without a certain plan, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. St. Luke 14, chapter 28, St. Matthew 7, chapter 24. It is necessary to see beforehand with the eyes of the understanding the whole of the work with all its principal ideas. To do the reverse would be to go by an unknown road which with our eyes voluntarily bound. pray to the Lord for the repose of the souls of your departed forefathers, fathers and brothers, daily in the morning and in the evening, in order that the remembrance of death may live in you, and that the hope in the future life after death may not be extinguished in you, and that your spirit may be daily humbled by the thought of the transitoriness of your life. Also, daily invoke the glorified saints that they may enlighten your way by their prayers, and that they may intercede for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you yourself may remember that after death there is eternal glorification and bliss for good deeds and eternal condemnation for evil ones. Sometimes during prayer you feel a kind of estrangement from God and despair. Do not be carried away by such a feeling. It proceeds from the devil, saying in your heart, I despair not of salvation. Reprobate as I am, and emboldened by thine immeasurable compassion, I come unto thee. If there is any hope of salvation for me, if thy loving mercy can overcome the multitude of my transgressions, be thou my Savior. First and fourth prayer before Holy Communion. When during oral prayer, the devil gnaws at your words by a multitude of most subtle thoughts, say, the power of the Savior is in every word and in every sound. Hast thou not known, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? St. John 14, chapter 9 and 10 verses. Do you not know that during prayer the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are in you and you in them? When during the reading of the canons and acathistus to the Savior, to the Mother of God, and to the guardian angel, or during the reading of other prayers, the devil whispers to your heart, this is untrue, untrue, this is strained, forced, and thus robs your heart of the power, the truth of the words of prayer. Then be like a deaf man that heareth not, a fool that he may be wise. Do not be for a moment agree in your heart with the falsehood of the enemy, or reason with his infernal reasoning, but believe firmly in the truth of all the church prayers and hymns of praise in all their fullness, knowing that they are the words of the Holy Ghost, proclaiming through the mouth of the holy men and praises due to the Savior, to the Mother of God, and to the saints. Bear in mind also our infirmities and ungodliness. Remember that the Church of the Living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3rd chapter 15th verse. Every priest is an apostle in his village or parish, and ought to go about to the different houses preaching the kingdom of God, instructing the ignorant, awakening the careless, who are living in the passions and carnal desires, to a Christian life, encouraging and stimulating by the hope of future recompense those who are pious and sober-minded, strengthening and comforting the discontented. This ought especially to be the object of processions with the cross on festivals. Sometimes we priests allow ourselves to eat and drink when going about with the cross. This should not be. We must preach with the cross in our hand that Christ came upon the earth in order to raise us up to heaven, according to this sweetest Lord Jesus. That is, it is not right to attach ourselves to anything earthly, and that we must value time in order to win eternity, to cleanse our hearts from every impurity, and to do as many good works as possible. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. St. John 4, chapter 31, verse. what means the heavy sleep of slothfulness and hardness, unfeelingness of heart during prayer, or during the preparation of some sermon, or during the teaching of religion. It means that the grace of God is leaving us by God's wise and good intention in order to strengthen our hearts for our own good intentions, in order to strengthen our hearts for our own free spiritual exertions. Sometimes grace carries us like children or guides and supports us as though by the hand. Then it is twice as easy for us to do works of virtue, whilst sometimes it leaves us alone to our weakness in order that we should not become slothful but should labor and by our labor become worthy of the gift of grace. At such times we ought as free being to spontaneously show our amendment and zeal to God. It would be foolish to murmur against God for depriving us of his grace. For when the Lord pleases, he takes away his grace from us, fallen and unworthy creatures. At such times we must learn patience and bless the Lord. The Lord gave his grace and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1 chapter 21st verse. During times of slothfulness and hardness of heart, men sometimes, through their faint-heartedness and impatience, become too familiar with God and allow themselves various eccentricities in their voice and movements, signifying impatience, dissatisfaction, murmurings, and even insolence towards God. Guard against this by every means and endeavor to overcome your slothfulness. You must conquer the enemy and your passions. If you wish to be humble, consider yourself worthy of all malice and hatred on the part of others and of every calumny. Do not grow irritated and do not nourish malice against those who bear malice against you, slander you, or falsely blame you. Say, Holy Father, thy will be done. Remember the words of the Lord. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. St. John 13th chapter 16th verse. And 15th chapter 18th verse. If the world hated him, the most righteous, the most merciful, then why should it be wonderful if other people hate you, a sinful and evil man? When you ask the Lord to enlighten your mind and warm your heart so that you may write a sermon or a letter to your parents, relations or friends, and the Lord does not seem to hear you, and you remain in darkness and coldness, do not grow faint-hearted. Do not be despond. Do not be indignant. Do not murmur at the Lord's inattention to you. For the Lord only tests your patience, your faith and hope, your devotion to him, the Almighty. Remember that it is easy for him to instantaneously illuminate and enlighten you, and in a few minutes you will be able to write an excellent sermon or a letter, ardent with warm feelings, full of light and elevated thoughts. We would have come unto you once and again, but Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2nd chapter 18th verse. From this we see that it is Satan who sometimes hinders our seeing each other or writing to our relations, friends, or acquaintances. How infirm a man of himself, how limited he is. It is not only God who does not allow him to do what he wishes, but even Satan forbids him. Indulge in the flesh, hardened on feelings to everything spiritual. Indulgence of the flesh, hardened on feelingness to everything spiritual, sacred, is the oppression of the enemy, although the carnal man does not consider it to be oppression, because he favors it. But those who desire to live a spiritual life look upon it as oppression because it does not admit God into their hearts, does not allow the grace of God to be poured into the heart, quickening and enlightening it, because such oppression makes this sin the soul unfruitful for deeds of faith, hope, and love. At such times, we become somehow carnal, as though having no spirit. Oh, how manifold are the various persecutions of the enemy! How truly we should grieve from the depths of our hearts at this hardened unfeelingness! How we should lament before the Lord! It will thus pass away, and the heart will be warmed and softened, and become capable of spiritual contemplation and holy feelings. When you pray, either aloud or to yourself for others, for instance, for the members of your household or for strangers, even though they may not have asked you to do so, pray for them with the same ardor and zeal as you would pray for yourself. Remember the commandment of the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. St. Matthew 19th chapter, 19th verse, and 22nd chapter, 39th verse, and so on. Observe this rule upon all occasions, that is, love your neighbor as yourself. Do not try to deal cunningly with the Lord that tries the reins and the heart, lest he should despise your prayer as vain and lying. Love does not suffer self-justification, does not exalt itself, is not puffed up. When we read any prayers for the first time, or read them seldom, then on account of their novelty, we read them willingly, with deep feelings. But afterwards, the more often we repeat them, the less we care for them, they cease to interest us, and it is with difficulty that we constrain ourselves to read them with the previous feeling. In reference to prayer, the following are the measures to be taken against this. We must represent to ourselves that we are for the first time saying these beautiful prayers to which we have grown accustomed, but which so deeply interest us when we first read them. We must think with our whole heart over every word of the prayer and value every word. This phenomenon of our soul is the consequence of original sin, the consequence of our original instability in the truth. And until now, we cannot be firmly established in the truth. As soon as we stand, we begin to waver again, and this often happens in regard to prayer. So it does also in regard to faith, to our friendship with other men, to our love for God and our neighbor, and in general to virtue. Everywhere we show ourselves unstable in truth. Also, it sometimes happens during prayers that our heart becomes impiously ashamed before men of the words of the prayer or of the Lord God himself, and we pronounce the words of the prayer listlessly, not from the whole heart. We must vanquish this ungodly, man-pleasing, diabolical shame and fear and say the prayer from our whole soul loudly in all simplicity of heart, representing God alone before us and counting all else as not existing. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be shamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. St. Mark 8, chapter 38, verse. And if you consider anything visible to be important and great except the Lord God, and neglect him who alone exists, who alone is great, then you are most impiously arrogant. Reckon everything as nothing, in comparison to the Lord, and cling to him alone. Man is dear to the Lord. The whole world is obedient to him. The Son of God himself came down from heaven on the earth to save him from everlasting torment, to reconcile him with God. All fruits, the various flesh of animals, were given to him for food, and various drinks were given to him to please his taste, but not to excite his passions, not for his only enjoyment, for the creation has great spiritual, divine enjoyments. Carnal delights must be always made subject to those higher ones. They must be restrained or completely suppressed when they hinder spiritual delights. This signifies that it is not to afflict man that food and drink are temporarily forbidden him by the church, not to limit his freedom, as worldly people say, but it is due in order to afford him true, lasting, and eternal delights. Therefore, meat or flesh, food, and wine and spirits are forbidden during Lent, especially by reason of the fact that man is very dear to God, and in order that his heart should cling to God alone and not to anything perishable, unworthy of him. But man, perverted by sins, easily attaches himself to earthly pleasures, forgetting that this true enjoyment, his true life, is the eternal God, and not the pleasant excitation of the flesh. The heart's attention and its understanding are gradually deadened in those who do not pray fervently, not from their whole heart, who seeing do not see, and hearing do not understand. St. Luke 8, chapter 10, verse. The words of the prayer, for a pretense, they make long prayers, and poor creatures do not think that for increasing the number of their words they shall receive greater damnation. St. Mark 12, chapter 40, verse. Do you not mark at the faults of your neighbor? Do you not despise him? Do you not nourish hatred against him on account of them? Charity beareth all things. Remember this, and bear with the faults and iniquities of your brother, that God may bear with yours. Have patience with the infirm members, for we are all one body of the Lord. Live with your heart the words of this Savior's prayer to his Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. St. John 17th chapter, 21st verse. And strive by every means to become united to God yourself, and to unite others to him. Maintain by every means mutual pious union, not sparing either yourself or anything belonging to you, for the sake of maintaining the union of love. For God is our almighty life-giver and the all-merciful giver of all things. He will support our life in our labors for our neighbor's benefit, if necessary, and will give us everything needful if we spend our property for the sake of maintaining mutual love. As Christ dwells wholly in every smallest particle of the body and blood, so also he dwells wholly in every good thought and word. If you truly wish to be humble, then long for every offense and persecution, as a hungry man longs for food, for by the justice of God you are worthy of this. If you wish to be truly humble, then consider yourself lower than all, worthy of being trampled on by all. For you yourself daily, hourly trample upon the law of the Lord, and therefore upon the Lord himself. When your heart is struck by the enemy nestling within you and causes you disturbance, strangeness, straitness and depression of spirit, do not then preach a sermon, lest instead of profit it should give rise to temptation, lest instead of spiritual nourishment it should cause spiritual dizziness and sickness. Neither that minister any reproofs at such times. These would only irritate and not correct, in order when the enemy nestles in your soul, it is better to be most silent. We are then unworthy of the word, which is the gift of the hypostatic word. First drive out the enemy, bring peace to dwell in your heart, and then speak. The one incomplex spirit of the three persons, the one single wisdom in the three persons, brought everything into existence from non-existence. The one single wisdom in the three persons, God. Some believe that their whole welfare and their exactitude before God consist in the readings of all the appointed prayers, without paying attention to the preparedness of their heart for prayer to God, nor to their inward amendment. Many, for instance, thus read the prayers appointed before Holy Communion, whilst at this time we should above all look to the amendment and preparedness of the heart to receive the holy mysteries. If your heart is right in your bosom, if by God's mercy it is ready to meet the bridegroom, then thank God, it is well with you. Even though you have not succeeded in reading all the appointed prayers, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 20, verse. Obedience to our mother, the church, is everything, in everything is right, and if it is possible for one to receive prolonged prayer, let him pray long. But all men cannot receive the saying, St. Matthew 19, chapter 11, verse. If long prayer is not compatible with fervor of spirit, then it is better to say a short but fervent prayer. Remember that the one word of the publican said from a fervent heart justified him. God does not look at the multitude of words, but upon the disposition of the heart. The chief thing is lively faith and fervent repentance for sins. Severe frost and sudden violent thaws visibly show upon a small scale that the Lord has made everything, the whole universe, and that he can destroy everything when it pleases him to do so. The covering of rivers, lakes, and seas with ice, and their breaking up shows the same. Also, the blossoming of the flowers, the growth of earthly plants in the spring and summer, and their destruction in the autumn. Also, the birth and death of man. The Lord has created us. It is His also to destroy us. The prayer of a priest for men has great power with God, if only the priest calls upon the Lord with his whole heart, with faith and love. God grant that there may be more priests who would pray to God with an ardent spirit, and who should pray to the Lord for his sheep with such power, if not the priest who receives grace and authority to do so from God himself. When you pray with tears and love for the Lord's sheep, and your thoughts praise you to yourself, then say to them, it is not I who prayed for God's people, but the Spirit itself within me maketh intercession for them with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, chapter 26, verse. And the Spirit bound me to, at that time, in the sweet bonds of his love and of heartfelt devotion. That this is true is evident from the fact that the sweetness of prayer and love can very soon forsake me. The truth of Christ's mysteries is vouched for by Christ himself. The truths were proven by the visible and invisible worlds, created and upheld in their existence by Him, by the cleansing from sins, and by the peace and joy of heart that we experience after communion. Charity is not easily provoked, but you are often provoked. Mine, the enemy, at this time uses his craps against you, for during anger faith in God is extinguished, and boldness before God is lost. The images of worldly vanity upon which we have looked with entire pleasure and hearty sympathy, effeminate, weaken, and disturb the soul. They deprive us of purity of heart and of boldness before God. Therefore, it is well not to frequent theaters, not to attend worldly, gay, and splendid assemblies, not to see those who are turning round in worldly dances, not to look at the worldly sights representing the multifarious vanities of this world. It is good to constantly hold fast by God alone. In the world there are so many enticements that the eye is not satisfied with seeing. Hallowed be thy name. This is our first desire and our first petition, that the name of God should be hallowed in us and through us. Let us remember that we are created after the image and likeness of the Lord God, after the likeness of His holiness. But alas, we sinned, we lost holiness, and are now born in sins and iniquities. We live in sins and iniquities like bastards and not sons. What other care should then now occupy us in our fallen state, but the care of become like unto the Heavenly Father, our prototype? The Lord Himself requires this of us: be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16 and Leviticus 19:2. This ought to be our first desire and the purpose of our whole life. The second petition is the expansion of the first. Our heart daily dies spiritually. Only ardent, tearful prayer quickens it and makes it begin to breathe again. If we do not daily pray with sufficient spiritual fervor, we may easily and speedily die spiritually. Sometimes during prayer the intellect becomes puffed up and the words of the prayers do not find a place in it on account of its carnality and falsehood, but still the words of the prayer are spirit and truth. The molten silver proceeding from the soul, burning with faith and love, which from the earth is tried and purified 7 times in the fire. The ungodly walk around them. Psalm 12:7-9. The last verse is given according to the Slavonic version, not going into the depth of their meaning. The insensibility of the heart during prayer to the truth of the word of the prayer proceed from the heart's unbelief and insensibility of its sinfulness, and these in their turn emanate from a secret feeling of pride. In accordance with the measures of his feeling during prayer, a man recognizes whether he is proud or humble. The more feeling, the more ardent the prayer is, the more humble he is, whilst the more unfeeling and cold it is, the prouder he is. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:10. This is so both in moral and dogmatical respects. He who teaches all the truths soundly, but transgresses against any one of them, he shall be found guilty of all, or against the one truth, indivisible in its being. That is, against the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the truth. St. John 14:6. Wherefore, because God is an incomplex though an infinite being, even a single wicked thought is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 15, chapter 26, verse. He who transgresses against the truth of dogmas transgresses against him who said of himself, I am the truth. Amen.